Hey Chance, how's it going?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm all right. We're doing an off-cycle episode of Watch Time, where it is still Watch Time in the sense that we'll get to activity stuff, Apple Watch stuff, etc. But we're in this unique moment in history, at least in our lifetimes, where we are, you know, I don't think there's anyone who's not affected by the coronavirus pandemic and the COVID-19 situation. And so I think it's two things. One, it's great to be able to be distracted by other things and not to have this be all you hear about, which a lot of what we'll talk about is how we're doing that, but then also how it's affecting us. Like, one of the most effective things I found on Twitter, before things were as they are now, I wasn't so much affected by it yet, and I was very curious how other people were, and so I just asked the question, and I got so many responses back from people who usually don't normally reply, and it was really cool to be able to use Twitter as a medium to connect with people and hear, you know, even the smallest things in your day, like what are affected, or the scariest things, like, you know, you can't spend time with family and you're afraid that you might lose them to the situation. And so, you know, it's a lot to take in, but I think it's also something that, you know, you and I have different perspectives on. But hopefully, you know, we also do work remotely. So that's something that we're used to. So hopefully this will be effective. So first thing first, Chance, in as much as you can say, how is coronavirus affecting you and your family and just your everyday life? Because as remote workers, we're used to one thing, but things are still not the same. So what's it like for you right now?
I mean, like you said, we've worked remote for 6-7 years now, so it's not a huge change day to day. But I think the biggest thing is seeing how it's affecting our families. So my girlfriend, for instance, she's working from home, and that's been a change. It's both of us in the house 24/7 now. So watching her adjust to working remotely has actually been kind of interesting. Like the people she works with, they wanted to do everything over email. But then she knows from how we work, she knows we use Slack. So she went to like the people she works with and they were like, we should use Slack. So that's been cool seeing how she's kind of learned from me already and taken that and expanded it to her coworkers. But the biggest thing, I think, has probably just been the inability to, like, break up the day as much as I would like. So one of the strategies I'd learned working remotely for so long is going to a Starbucks or going to a Panera Bread, like, halfway through the day. And that's obviously something that we can no longer do. So I've had to find new ways of breaking up the day inside the house and inside the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing that?
The biggest thing is not sitting at my desk all day. And I know that's what some people might recommend that new people working from home do.
Have a dedicated space at home to work.
Right. But for me, and just from a mental standpoint, and since I usually work more than 8 hours a day, I know that I have to move around. Otherwise, I'm just going to burn out so much more quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's, and some, you know, it's so weird. In some ways, my daily routine is easier now than before, which is, you know, not a brag, and is not, I'm not happy about that at all.
No.
I'm terrified of the situation and how it will affect people in my family. You know, I'll get more on that in a moment, but, for example, I was out of town a couple of weeks ago to see a rocket launch at Cape Canaveral in Florida with my kids. And so we just happened to be there, you know, for that reason. Mm-hmm. And then it was over the weekend. And then we got word that my daughter's school was closed, at least for the week. And so I said, okay, we don't really have to go back home right now. And I've got family in Florida that I haven't seen in a long time. And they were supposed to be in Israel, in Egypt, and they came back early because in Egypt there were coronavirus cases and they were afraid that they would have been stuck in the country and not being able to come home, which would have been the situation. They weren't confident at the time, but it was a possibility. So I said, you know, hey, see that you guys are home. Do you mind if we come and visit for a few nights? And we don't get to see them very often because they live so far away. And so we went and spent time with them. And that was wonderful, you know, to have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it was just because my daughter was out of school anyway. So it's like, we're not home yet. So let's just stick around a few more nights. And, but then since we've come back home, the school's been not only canceled for the week, but until April the 27th. So, it's a month from, you know, when we're recording and I'm grateful for that because when it was only 1 week, I didn't see the point in that. Spring break was right. Pretty far off. And it was like, what are you going to achieve in a week out of school? Like, it's not even the quarantine period. So I was happy that they canceled.
And it seems like they'll probably just extend that through the end of the spring semester, right?
Yeah, I don't see them going back.
I don't see it, yeah.
Yeah, because if they were trying to maintain any sense of, like, you know, routine, it would be – like, for example, where I live in South Mississippi, I moved here the spring after Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. And so school that I left in Millbrook, Alabama – was ending sooner than the school that I moved to because they were having to make up several weeks for Katrina and being out of school. So it was unique. But in this situation, unless you just like started school in the summer, you know,
yeah.
I don't think there's any amount of time. No. It's so disruptive. So, and that's another thing is like, even with her school out, I already work from home and by way of bad experiences with daycares, my son Rory, who is three or he's two, stays home. And you know, it's just having one more person here. And sort of a personal thing is that my older brother has lived in the past 10 years off and on halfway houses and recovery houses and everything. And so I just happened to be visiting him for the first time in over a year, and it was before everything was so bad, but it was just like he was going to go to a different city, and I was like, why don't you come live near me and, you know, stay a few nights and find you a place and everything. And it ended up being, well, there's not much that you can start doing right now because everything's closed.
Right.
So, you know, stay for a while. And it's worked out this time. It's something that we tried over and over in the past and it's never worked out. He leaves. But in this situation, it's like, no, don't go anywhere. It's crazy out there. And so it's actually like it's working. And so he's here too with the kids, and he's a terrific uncle. So that really helps out. Yeah. And then my wife, Kelsey, is a nurse at the hospital. So that was one reason we stayed in Florida too, was if we go back, you know, there's quarantine and then there's living with someone who cannot quarantine.
Right.
And as much as we can stay, you know, shelter in place, she goes to work every day, you know, 4 days a week, and she's exposed to people who, you know, are like if you go to Walmart, you know, you might be exposed to someone who doesn't know it. If you go to the hospital, then there are people who have symptoms and they go there for that purpose. So it's like a heightened scenario. Absolutely. And so, yeah. And there have been countless times so far where she's been exposed to patients who then start having symptoms. And it's like, well, now I've got to follow their case and see if they're positive or negative. And she hasn't been tested yet, but there hasn't been quite a need yet. But it's just a situation where even if she gets COVID-19, tests positive for COVID-19, she stays home for 2 weeks and then has to go back, you know? It's like,
yep.
You know, it's just, it's what you do.
And it doesn't the scariest things for me would be she doesn't even necessarily have to interact with one of those patients.
No,
yeah. It could be another nurse or anything.
Yeah, and they have a protocol where she works on a team of four where there's one person who is her boss who is supposed to interact with patients who are suspected to have symptoms and maybe tested. But he works in a different hospital about 30 minutes away.
Oh, geez.
And the protocol is that if she's interacting with a patient, then she needs to call him and have him come over to her hospital and then sort of take the risk instead of her. And she says it's not practical. You know, if there's a patient in the ER who needs her attention, there's not time for, you know, come ASAP plus 30 minutes, you know? Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately for us, it just feels like it's inevitable for all of us. And so, you know, the upside is that we are keeping in touch with family and friends mm-hmm. remotely, but not in person. And, you know, it just feels like a matter of time until it, you know, passes through our family or comes to our family and we're affected by it, however we are, you know, and it's terrifying. You know, I'm 29, she's 28. My daughter is 7, my son's 2. And, you know, just because you're not in an at-risk patient, you know, or an older patient, it doesn't mean it's not frightening.
Right.
We've seen a number of cases where it's someone younger and there's another, you know, my good friend has a son who, just has a bad immune system. And so it's like, mm-hmm. we can't hang out right now for that reason. And then finally, you know, working from home, like you mentioned, it's not staying at home always. And so my typical right. routine for 9 to 5 Mac is that I, you know, work in the morning, work through the afternoon. And then, you know, where most of the time people will come home from work, I leave home from yep. work and, you know, go out and get some kind of like a real world interaction, you know, whether it's the gym or whatever. And, you know, I hadn't gone to the gym in a while, really, but just going grocery shopping, and there's so many things, you know, going to the coffee shop and like working there for a few hours, like you mentioned, is just mm-hmm. so normal. And now you can't do that. And you get stir crazy. And also working from home by yourself is one thing, or with one kid, but exactly. with 2 kids, it's a totally different beast. So I'm, you know, for every reason in the world, ready for things to be back to normal. But I know, like, you know, that the best thing we can all do is limit interactions in person. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's like the one effective thing that we can do. So it's tricky. One thing that's also affected me is that at the beginning of the year on this podcast, on Watch Time, I was just like, you know, new year, this is some of my goals for the year. One is to train for a half marathon. It would be number 7, but the first one I trained for, and I was doing okay at training. But it was for a race in April that first the flight got canceled, then another event there got canceled, and then the race got canceled. And it was like, finally, because we know we're not going to race, it was canceled. And so for me, that's been, it was it, when something that you've paid for is still in the calendar and you're not sure if you're going to get your money back or just a credit, it's stressful. You know, it was like right. $400 and funds for like 2 race tickets and then the flight. And then, you know, it was wild. And so getting money back was like a huge relief. And then in terms of the race situation, it's like, I was an ace in it for sure, you know? And so now I've got a fresh start now to do something different, you know, and kind of reset, you know, mid year right. without, or quarter year really without, any guilt. And, you know, it's like, I might not even do another half marathon or I will, but I won't worry about, you know, any goal for it. And what mm-hmm. I want to do now is do the full marathon at whatever pace. So, at the end of the year. So yeah, it's something. And you yourself, Chance, had a race canceled too, right?
Yeah. I had a half marathon also in April that got delayed until September, I think is what they're shooting for.
Hmm.
But they haven't announced a date and they haven't announced if or how they're going to do refunds. So I've still got some unknowns about my situation there.
Yeah.
I think if it's rescheduled for September, I'll probably just stay signed up and try to train. But since I know my motivation to run and train throughout the summer, though, is just going to be so low because it's going to be so hot.
And we have no idea what September will look like.
Right. Know, that too.
You know. Yeah.
And then I was
I was going to say, and the freaking Olympics are canceled for the year. Right. Ones next year. So it's like, you know, we just don't know.
Yeah. And then I was also signed up for like a CrossFit type competition that has also been delayed until September.
Mm-hmm.
But for that one, I'm thinking I'm still going to stay signed up. And I was going to compete at the beginner level. But I think now I'm just going to set my goal since it's in September, to compete at intermediate. So that might be a fun challenge.
Yeah, that's cool.
Of course, that contingent is on being able to get back to the actual gym sometime.
Yeah, yeah. My last guest, Sean Dorsey, was really an awesome dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he's someone who I follow on Instagram, especially because he just posts like routinely, religiously, his workout routine, like what he's doing at the gym. And it's really motivating, and he's having to adapt now to being at home. And
yeah.
He's just, you know, he's told me this week that he just can't do the same things right now. But it's okay, you know,
yeah.
In terms of how it is. Your race is in Waco where you live, right? And yes. The Magnolia folks, what are their names? Like, it was part of them, right?
Yeah, Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Okay.
Fixer-upper on HGTV.
Yeah. That's neat. And Chip is a known runner anyway.
Chip is... Their whole reason they started they call it the Silo Half Marathon and Marathon was because Chip wanted to run a marathon.
Oh.
So they just started, they created their own and he trained for it and everything. I think it started in 2016, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've mentioned on the podcast yet because I've just spoken with a guest and not a colleague, but the day that WWDC 2020 was announced to be online only this year and not an in-person event, one of my immediate reactions was, you know, it's too bad we won't all get to be together, but what can we do about it? And hopefully what can we do this year that can carry on in the future so that everyone feels together, even if you can't spend an arm and a leg to get there. And one of the things is the main thing for this podcast is that I plan to do a virtual 5K, so a 3.1 mile the day after the keynote. And so I think what I'd like to do is have an episode. I'll announce it ahead of time so people can register because there will be some sort of, you know, memorabilia to take home for people who register, for a certain amount of people who register. But the idea is just like, you know, I'll have an episode of Watch Time Out. We'll know everything about Watch OS 7. It will be all about Watch OS 7. And, you know, you can run to that. You can run to music. You can run to whatever, you know, but if it's on that day and you run with your Apple Watch and send a screenshot and you're registered, then, you know, so many folks will get this reward and then we'll have this for participating for everybody. So, nothing formal yet, but there's no way I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important.
You sent me something the other day about a race that was doing something similar, a virtual.
Yeah. So the race that I was signed up for, the half marathon, was at Disney, which Disney closed, but the race was still on for a while until it ended too. But they can't postpone because they have a fall race already.
Oh.
So people, and also like registration windows and everything is just, it's too complicated. So I think it was the right thing to just say, this won't happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be refunded even though we don't usually refund. So that was nice. In New Orleans last year, I ran the Crescent City Classic 10K, which is so cool. Like you run from, the Superdome where the New Orleans Saints play football and you go from there, I think down Canal Street and then, you run through the French Quarter and then you run north to the city park and then there's like big festival afterwards. And it's so cool. Like, you know, I drive an hour and a half over there just to run six miles and, you get the coolest medals, the coolest t-shirts. And then there's just so many people who come out and they're handing out, you know, not just water and power, but beer. You know, it's just funny to see like people take on a run. And then afterwards, there's like a big, you know, music and food and running festival at the end. And then you get bused back to the entry starting line. And it was really fun. And I was like, planning on doing it again. But I didn't want to spend money on it if it was going to be like money in limbo. Yeah. And so what they did is they just, you know, naturally, they can't do the run right now, and there's no way they could pull it off, and people wouldn't register anyway. So they instead said, we're going to do a virtual Crescent City Classic this year, and it won't just be one day, but it'll be like a time frame where you've got you do a 6K on your own, you submit proof that you did, and you still get the medal and the shirt, you know, and the
participation. Cool.
Yeah. Which is a really great way. Like, I'm not sure that everyone will do that because it isn't the same thing.
Right.
But if you've got a streak of running in that race every year, or you're already signed up for it and you want the swag, like, then it's a cool way to do that. So it's a neat thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about, home life. Like,
okay.
So, you know, we mentioned a bit about how it's affecting us. What is just life around your hometown and with your family at large? Because I know you live away from your family, like right now with this happening.
So immediately, just within Waco, we are in a shelter-in-place thing, like a lot of other places now. But the list of quote unquote essential businesses is so long that it really just feels like everything is still open as usual, except for restaurants and gyms. So not much feels like it's changed here, even though it should be changing.
That's concerning, right?
But that's another topic.
This week, 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time is sponsored by Pillow. Getting a good night's sleep is underrated, but with a little help, it can be life-changing. Pillow is an all-in-one sleep tracking solution to help you be more aware of your sleep patterns and discover what might be affecting your sleep quality. If you have an Apple Watch, tracking your sleep is as easy as wearing your Apple Watch during sleep. Pillow will track and analyze your sleep automatically. One of Pillow's most loved features is the ability to get a detailed heart rate diagram of every sleep session. You can even compare your sleep quality with your weight, steps, caffeine consumption, and many more health metrics to discover how they might be affecting your sleep. Pillow can optionally record sounds you make during sleep, from sleep talking to sleep apnea and snoring, or unexpected noises that might be affecting your sleep. A lot of users have been surprised by the results. Pillow is a very privacy-minded app. All of your sleep and audio data is encrypted and stored on your device in your iCloud storage account using end-to-end encryption. That's the good stuff. Pillow doesn't have user accounts, so you can use it anonymously, and it doesn't collect or send data, personal data, anywhere else. Naps boost your focus, creativity, and overall well-being. If you're working from home, you can also take power naps using Pillow's power nap mode. If you need an alarm, Pillow can wake you up using your iPhone, iPad, or Apple Watch. If you have watchOS 6 installed on your Apple Watch, the latest update of Pillow uses the new extended runtime to minimize battery consumption on the Apple Watch. Pillow is available on the App Store for the iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. Discover all of Pillow's features at neybox.com/pillow. That's neybox.com/pillow. Sleep well and stay safe. My thanks to Pillow for their support of 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time.
And then, so we were supposed to fly home back to Indiana in April for Easter. And that was going to be our first time seeing like our family since, I guess, Christmas. But now it's looking like there's no way that actually ends up happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like another big unknown, speaking of flights and all of that. Because right now they haven't canceled our flights, so we're just waiting to find out. But, and part of it about going home is we don't want to take anything back to our family.
Right.
Especially
or anyone along the way.
Yeah. Especially when we're going to be with elderly people, like my girlfriend's grandma's in her 80s, my grandpa's in his 80s. It's just not worth the risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it sucks, but that's the biggest thing for us right now is we're just kind of here and we can't, not going to be able to go back to Indiana for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I lost my granddad when I was in middle school, and my other granddad about 8 years ago, and my grandmother are in the same time, and so I've got one grandparent left, and she's really active and social, but she lives out in the middle of the country in Alabama, and so like she's in isolation right now, which is driving her crazy because she usually gets rides to town and gets to visit and everything. But you know, I would be terrified to like visit with her right now.
Absolutely.
Especially with my wife working at the hospital. Yeah. And then Kelsey, her grandmother, who lives in town, has cancer, and she's been going through treatments. And we, you know, it was just out of an abundance of caution, she couldn't come to a recent birthday party in February. But then since all this has been, you know, widespread and more known, then we're absolutely cannot visit, you know. And so we FaceTime, we phone call, you know, we keep in touch, but it's kind of scary that, you know, you've got like two things to be worried about, the cancer and then COVID-19.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure a lot of people are going through situations much like that, and it's tough.
Yeah. My grandpa had a stroke 3-4 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still going in to get, he does dialysis twice a week, I think.
Yeah.
So that's been a challenge, and just him going in and out of a to get that done every week is, I guess, been super stressful because he doesn't know what he's interacting with when he goes in there.
Right.
But he has to have it done, so there's just no alternative.
Right. Yeah. Man, it's hard. And from, I haven't gone out of the house, but my brother has for groceries for us. And what he reports back is that, like you mentioned, people are out and about. Mm-hmm. Our town, so City of Ocean Springs in South Mississippi had, the mayor had signed an order to close indoor dining, drive-thrus only, no outside dining either, just drive-thru, take home. Only essential businesses open and, you know, shelter in place. And then the governor of the state of Mississippi signed a couple days later his own executive order that dining was opened inside restaurants to parties of 25 or under, and that you could go out and about as long as you weren't individually in a group of 10 or more, and that superseded the city order. And so what was a clear direction became confusion. And I was proud of the mayor, who's quite young. He's 33 years old, so he's a young guy. And was disappointed in the governor for introducing confusion. And, you know, it's not like we have no cases. We just have no testing. And so, you know, our numbers are lower than neighboring states of Louisiana and Alabama. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a party thing either, because the mayor is Republican, the governor's Republican, the lieutenant governor of Alabama is Republican and the governor, but the lieutenant governor spoke out strongly, you know, against the need for something statewide. And in Louisiana, the governor's a Democrat and the mayor of New Orleans is a Democrat, but it's still a conservative state. And their cases are, you know, no one can compare it to New York right now, but their cases in Louisiana because of spring break – or not spring break, because of Mardi Gras in New Orleans are off the charts. And it's people who live and work in Mississippi where I live and everything. It's like, it's just like in my state, it's, the biggest concern is the lack of knowledge and, guidance and everything. And, you know, I was very frustrated to see that the governor's order superseded what the mayor had instructed. And sure enough, you know, businesses want to make the most of what they can, you know, naturally. It's scary for businesses. And, you know, they immediately adopt the statewide rules instead of the citywide rules because it's you know, better for the economy. Mm-hmm. And so that's tough. You know, something else I've done is like contact, of a lot of friends who I speak to, you know, every few years sort of, and, you know, we were closer in the past, and through this, I've been wanting to just, you know, here, I've got a friend who runs a deli in Texas and it's like in Austin. And it's like, how you doing, man? He's like, I'm the only one working. I'm getting paid, but I don't know what I'm getting paid for. No one comes in anymore. Yeah. I had to lay off 90% of the employees here. And it's like, man, it's hard. It's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been similar here in Texas. The governor's logic has been there's no need for a statewide shelter in place because something like 150 counties don't yet have a case of COVID-19.
Hmm.
Which seems like flawed logic because you'd want to keep it that way.
Sure.
But then in Waco, we had a shelter-in-place order. And then the county, McLennan County, they actually just adopted the city's plan, which was nice. So there wasn't any clarity confusion there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I actually just saw just now where the state of Texas is requiring anyone that comes from New Orleans to self-quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah.
So that's
and Mardi Gras was in February, like it's a month ago.
Yeah,
and it's not just New Orleans. You know, where I live, right beside Biloxi, Mardi Gras began in Mobile, Alabama. It happens in Pensacola, Florida. So it's like all on the Gulf Coast. There's the culture of Mardi Gras in February, and you know, it's. I mean, I went to some parades. It's like, you know, We knew what we knew, but it wasn't what it is now. But that's certainly a data point of where did some of this widespread stuff come. And so that's why it's especially frustrating for Mississippi to not have a very serious order and to have the Gulf Coast have stricter orders. you know, certain beaches closed, and for the governor to say no. And it's one thing for to have the argument that you can't have a federal mandate because it's different throughout the states, to have the governors mm-hmm. decide. But then the governor was like, we'll have the mayors decide. But then his order, you know, upended what the mayor had decided, yeah. right? So it's like, oh, okay.
And then you've got the Texas lieutenant governor who...
He is very quotable.
Yeah.
What was it he said?
That any people over 70 would be willing to sacrifice themselves for people under 70s 401ks or something.
Yeah, so cold. That's wild. How are you staying distracted through all of this? I know I've got my ways. We can't constantly 24/7 be, you know, dug into this and terrify ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to sort of, you know, have some sense of routine?
Yeah, I've really been trying to keep a similar routine that I had before this all started. So before, I was going to the gym at 5 a.m. every day. So I've kind of just replaced that. I still get up about 5 or 5:30. And then I use the Peloton, which I know lots of us have in common at 9 to 5 Mac. Mm-hmm. So that's been the biggest thing, is keeping that morning routine about the same and staying active, because I don't want to stress about staying active through all of this, because there's bigger and more important things to stress about. But I know for me, staying active on the Peloton and with walks around the neighborhood is a great thing for me, just from a mental standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. I've not yet adapted to the new situation that we're in.
But I don't have kids to deal with like you do, so...
Yeah, and there's more flexibility now with my brother here too, but mm-hmm. ideally we do something together. It's getting hotter and everything.
Yeah.
So immediately what I'm doing is I'm doing what I did in 2016, which is looking on Facebook Marketplace for used ellipticals for under $300. Mm-hmm. And because of I've gained weight since this, and the goal this year was to lose weight, something that everyone strives to do if that's their New Year's resolution. And, this has just been so different. And so now it's like running is even harder than it was before. Cycling is easier if I do Peloton regularly. It's like, so that's the very next thing I'm doing, is like looking at the market of used ellipticals again, and going that route again, because it's low resistance and it's easy. I mean, that's literally where my activity use with the Apple Watch kicked off was elliptical, because it's so, you can make it very hard for yourself and push yourself further, or you can hop on and have no resistance at all and still get a movement in. For me, a couple of things have helped out with distractions. I guess a few things. One thing that's helped is listening to podcasts like this, where you don't just ignore it, but you address it and talk about how you're, dealing with it. Connecting with people online was the same thing. It was and talking to friends is the same way. It's takes me out of my situation and puts me in theirs for a moment, and then I can have a new perspective on mine. And to know that I'm very privileged, we both are, to have our positions.
Yes, absolutely.
And even my wife, where her work is terrifying right now, she's not a non-essential worker. And so for so many people, it's not guaranteed that, you stay home, you get paid, and it's so up in the air with so many people. But something that's helped out a lot is listening to podcasts like this, where, you come for another reason, but then you get this, and that's helped out a lot with really relatability, I think. And, looking at the Apple stuff, The Apple Watch I follow every Apple Watch tweet on Twitter, and it's you see what people are saying about it and how they're using it. And, a big trend is people that are either finding motivation in their Apple Watch to push them to stay active, even though they're out of their routine, or the flip side, which is that the alerts to remind you to move or comparing your activity to what you normally do is not motivational and is frustrating. And I get both sides of that, and I'm kind of transitioning from the camp where it's annoying and a bad reminder to, okay, now I've been in this situation for a couple of weeks now. How do I adapt to it? So that's helped out. You know, news of the new iPad, like it's such a minor update, but you know, learning how developers are using LiDAR for advances in augmented reality and ARKit, like it feels like it's more in depth sciencey than just like more megapixels in a camera or something. And I'm like, it's kind of an unknown for me, and so I'm enjoying like learning about that and seeing what apps are doing. And I mean, the big thing there, like consumer facing, is that if you do AR now with the ARKit, there's a period of like find a flat surface and wave your phone or your iPad around so that it can learn that flat surface. And now with LiDAR, it is, you know, you get a beam of invisible light and it finds all of the parts of the room without needing a flat surface. So, so I mean, that's keeping me kind of distracted, you know, in a way.
Even the magic keyboard reading about how the what is it, cantilever, how that whole... works from an engineering standpoint. Like that's just been fascinating.
Yeah, it's just a mouse and a trackpad, or it's a trackpad and a keyboard. But like the actual like engineering of the product for the Magic Keyboard for the iPad Pro is fascinating. And to add to the mystery there and the suspense, it's not out yet until May.
So we get to obsess over.
Yeah, until it's actually here. And then you know a lot of people who follow my work know that. A recent obsession has been space stuff. And so this one's a little bit trickier because my website is spaceexplored.com. I write about spaces and history there as a hobby. And it started out as like, I am obsessed with this and I'm feeding my brain like candy to learn more about history and milestones coming up. And now I'm kind of like leveling out where I'm as interested as ever. And I've established some credibility in like what I know, but that right now so much of it is how things are being, how NASA is being affected by coronavirus, how SpaceX is, how different companies and launches are. Like right now, half of NASA's facilities are closed down, including the one near me and the manufacturing plant in New Orleans. And so it's like, you know, I can't ignore that because then it will have ripple effects in the future where now this thing happens, but it didn't happen then or it was off schedule because of that. Mm-hmm. So it's important for the context, but I'm also trying to focus the space site more on, you know, covering the coronavirus stuff, but trying my best to not have back-to-back coronavirus stuff. And there are launches happening. Like today I'm tracking one that may or may not go off, but it's the first launch for Space Force, but it's the sixth mission of this type. So it's the Space Force Department of the Air Force, but it's a national security satellite to launch. And, I was supposed, this is one of the things that's also affected by coronavirus where I was supposed to go. I was invited to attend, a 2-day tour of the facilities, which is the first time they've ever opened it up to, invitees. And, it got canceled, you know, because of the situation. Luckily I get to redeem that at the very next opportunity that I'm able to, but, you know, for now it's affected. But you know, again, so many people are affected in much more fundamental and profound ways than like missing out on a luxury experience sort of. Right. So, you know, it's that,
you mentioned my podcasts. What are you listening to? I need
more. Sure. Let's see. So I go through, like just today I was a guest on, I'm not sure how you say it because it's a podcast from Spain in Spanish. But it was a really neat experience where it was almost nothing about coronavirus. And, it's called Apolianos and it's APPLEALIANOS and it's in Spanish. And one of the hosts speaks Spanish. One of the hosts speaks Spanish in English and then I speak English. And so, the interview was largely about all of the iOS 14 and watchOS 7 rumors and stories that we've had. But it was neat because it was like the host would ask me a question in Spanish. The co-host would then translate it. I would answer it. And then the co-host would translate it from English to Spanish. And it was like a multi-step process. And it was so delightful. And I'll have a link for that whenever it's out. But otherwise, there are a number of space podcasts that I enjoy. One is from our friends at Relay FM, Jason Snell and Stephen Hackett, and it's Liftoff, which is if you are like me and you just get into to space stuff all of a sudden, it has years of recent space news that is like in the week that they talk about it, it's the top story. But you wouldn't see it again, you know, 2 years later, mm-hmm. but you can go back and like learn all this context. And it was very helpful for me for like getting my, sea legs about space. Another one is called, it's from NASA, called the Rocket Ranch, where, it comes from Kennedy Space Center, and the host interviews, people who work on programs there. And it's so cool. Neat because they're not podcasters, you know, and they pull it off, in a very cool way. So those two things, Relay FM's Liftoff, nice. And then, Rocket Ranch from NASA. What about you?
In terms of podcasts, one of the ones I've been listening to a lot recently, they've been doing a lot of good coronavirus stuff and coronavirus stuff from a business standpoint. It's Business Casual.
Hmm.
It's from Morning Brew. They do that newsletter that goes out like every morning about that day's business news.
Mm-hmm.
They actually just had Mark Cuban on today, and that was a
cool,
super interesting episode. And then I know we both listen to this, but Dubai Friday.
Yeah, I love Dubai Friday. So Alex Cox is one of the co-hosts, right. And they have been on this podcast, and they are terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Dubai Friday. And there's you can't listen with kids, but it's very relatable.
Then outside of podcasts, I've been obsessing over Survivor.
Because of Dubai Friday, right?
I'm like a year late. They obsessed over it like last year, but I finally... It's intimidating when there's 40 seasons of something.
Yeah.
To want to just jump in blind. But
I watched season 1 and 2 with my family when it was airing for the first time. Yeah. That's about it.
Now, John Siracusa has like a tweet that has his favorite seasons. So I've just been mm-hmm. working my way through that, jumping around. But that's a great way to just escape what's actually happening right now and just obsess over something for 42 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was that show, it's terrible, but on Netflix, Love is Blind. Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't. Yeah. It's on my list, though.
Yeah.
And another, the Circle on Netflix is supposed to be similar.
I haven't seen The Circle, but my wife Kelsey got into Love is Blind when like 2 episodes were out, and then it became like a weekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like the reunion show, and it's so silly, but it's one of those like feels good. It's so ridiculous. It's not like what you deal with normally. And, it was before all of this was going on, but we found relief in that just from the normal every day. The Apple TV Plus movie, The Banker.
Oh yeah.
You know, that was a situation where it was supposed to be released last year, and then there was a controversy that delayed it. And then it was in theaters this year so that they can be eligible for awards by the end of the year or for early next year. And, I got to see it when I was in Florida because it was it's only in select theaters, or it was. And so I went to the movie theater because it was playing, and it wasn't playing near my house. And I got to see it in theaters at an IPIC theater, which is, they're very nice. But as we left the theater closed down for good, like, you know, for the foreseeable future. Right. But it's on, you know, awesome is that it's on Apple TV Plus now as planned. And so you can watch it from home. And I think it's a really cool movie. And then all the movies that have, you know, a handful of movies have come to iTunes or the Apple TV, you know, video store, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
that would have been in theaters, but now you can just watch them at home. You can rent them for more than a normal rental, but you get them instead of theaters. So that's a cool way to do things. And I mean, back to the space stuff, as always, like, I've just been like looking at space documentaries and space things for kids, and like, you know,
yeah.
learning like what is on Netflix in this category, what is on Hulu, what is on YouTube. And that helps out a whole lot too. revised fitness plans is something I want to discuss specifically too. So I kind of hinted at it before, but like, you know, the goal is the same as ever, like to get in shape and stay in shape and feel better, run faster, et cetera. And I don't think for me, it starts out with running again. I think it's that I need the elliptical in mm-hmm. an air conditioned environment, ideally at home to achieve that. And, so there's like less friction than ever. What are your goals this year? What are you kind of doing in that area?
It's tricky because obviously we had goals that are now thrown out the window. But, I mean, throughout all of this, I think my biggest goal is just going to be to maintain the progress that I've made, which I think I can do with a combination of the Peloton plus eating right 5 or 6 days a week. But I think more than anything, once all of this is over, whenever that happens to be, I think my drive to get back into weights and all of that will just be so much higher. I think hopefully it'll help propel me to like the next step up, whatever that
like
might
with be. Like with anything, whenever you lose it, you know, you've got the chance to now appreciate it more when it comes back, and that's
right.
That's kind of where we are, I guess. So.
Yeah.
So something else to think about is ways that you can, like, if you really care about your activity streak, you've got a multi-year streak, and then this, you know, the situation happens, and you cannot go to the gym, or you don't have the time to go out and run, or do a bike ride, and you don't have equipment at home, then what do you do? And there's a number of things that you can do, but one of the things that I think is very neat is doing yoga, because you're going to get the full activity credit. If you do half an hour of yoga, you're going to get a full 30 minutes of workout there. And so you can maintain your streak that way, and you can adjust your move goal anytime by going in the activity app and the watch and force pressing and changing your move goal there. So if you usually do 800 because you go to the gym or you walk around a lot on campus or something or work, then now you can do it with you can lower it so that you're adjusted for your new circumstances until you get back to normal. So I think that's pretty important to do too.
I've got a post on 9to5Mac that has a breakdown of some of the fitness services and other things that are offering extended free trials and free classes and stuff right now. So that has all kinds of ideas if you're looking for something you can do at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's a good thing. We'll have that in the show notes. I'm just looking at the launch that I was watching that got delayed. It's now happening. So that's so cool. I'm telling you, this is something I mentioned on the Spanish podcast I was on, was they had mentioned the space stuff to me as like they were following it for me. And, you know, my reaction there was, you know, we've just done this whole podcast with the translations, and yeah, it was so cool. But like to see your rocket launch, to hear it after the launch happens and to kind of feel it too is, you know, universal, no translation required.
Yeah.
This is neat. I'll put a video in the show notes of like, you can go back and watch this launch and see. That's beautiful. That's cool. That's awesome. Sorry for the distraction.
No.
I've been watching this for like 2 hours. It got delayed. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I think there's definitely an opportunity here to learn, you know, there's a lot of bad happening where, you know, people are going to need help. And that's one thing. Dubai Friday had an awesome setup for how to request help and help others. I'll put a link to their website for that in the show notes. But also like the thing that I felt good about doing is reaching out to friends and family and like, you know, on a few days, you know, a couple of days or so, and just like seeing what's it like for you, you know, and, you know, they'll ask how it's like for you. And it feels good to kind of connect that way. And if there is a way that you can help, you know, then you learn that way. In my neighborhood, we have, there's a group, and it's normally like just discussion among the neighborhood, but there's a separate group that someone started, which is for people less at risk, able to run errands and bring groceries for older people and people more at risk. So that's a really cool thing to see. You know, and even like our friends at Nomad, they make the iPhone cases and accessories, and they've changed their focus for now from that to using their manufacturing line to produce the N95 masks that are deeply in need. So that's cool to see. We've seen Apple donate, what is it, 10 million of those so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just in the United States, they've done more to Italy, I know.
Yeah, yeah. It's tragic to see like this happen around the world. But, you know, it's if you lose someone from this, then that's just profound. And I don't have words really. But if you're in the situation that we're in, where you're just kind of coping with the situation, then in that situation, I think it's important to, you know, take time to take care of yourself, to take care of your family, and to hopefully come out with a new appreciation for what you have, and you know, be a better person on the other side, you know. And you know, I saw some really, really, really bad takes that were like, use this time to learn a new language and write a book. And you know, it's like, I wish. It's actually harder now than ever to do that for a lot of people, myself included. But you know, it is a moment of pause and reset, and at least in that we're not on the same routine as always. And yeah, and for listeners, I would love to hear, just like I have asked before, is like, send, you know, if you have something to share or something that you need, and you know, you want to reach out, then my direct messages are open on Twitter. Email is zach@endofivemac.com, ZAC. And, you know, I feel fortunate for both you and I, Chance, that we are in a situation where it's not so scary. And I know, I don't know about for you, but 10 years ago, I would be very terrified. And probably felt very isolated too. So, you know, whatever we can do to help, I'd be happy to hear. So, and by the way, this was your idea today. This was to do this episode. It was. So, yeah, I know you want. Yeah,
for everybody, something to help us talk through, because we talk all day over iMessage, but this is different.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And being able to share what we talk about all day with everyone else is nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, something that we did in the 9to5 Mac Slack that I feel was kind of helpful was, instead of having the general room be for discussion for anything that isn't tech related, have a specific room for this situation. And it's been a place where we share news as it breaks about the situation. It's been a place where we share, you know, tips for how to deal with this to each other. And we've written some of those things up on the site as well. And also, like, cat pictures, you know, yeah. So... you know, if you want to send cat pictures or dog pictures or whatever, you know, you know, if you send that in a tweet, I'll retweet it. I can say that. So, all right, that is this special episode of Watch Time, and we'll be back in the future. We'll be back in this is an off cycle episode, but the next one will come out at least on let's see, look at the calendar, April 8th. Might have one more before that too. We'll see. Just want to do something special in this time of uncertainty, and you know, hope it helped out. I hope you appreciate it. So, thanks for being here, Chance.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
You too.